canny grandfather and get him to reminisce about rearing a family, and he'll likely say, "It all went so quickly. I'd love to have some of those years back." But as a mom or dad of young children, when you're knee-deep in unfinished laundry, mopping up the mess after dinner, and staying up late to pay the bills, it feels like time is crawling. Well, today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue his series on biblical parenting. We'll explore practical ways to make the most of these child-rearing years by creating delightful memories your children won't forget.
We have the great promise in the scriptures that the Lord at any moment will return from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. And then we who are alive and remain on this earth at that time, we who know the Lord Jesus, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is the next event in the prophetic plan of God. Can happen at any moment. Isn't that an exciting thought? Worship also includes time of instruction. We will gather that today from the 127th and 128th Psalms. If you have not already turned, please locate that. Psalm 127, beginning at verse 3. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy. And it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Shalom, Israel. Peace be upon Israel.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, Delightful Memories Your Children Won't Forget.
Memories last for a lifetime. Sometimes, admittedly, they are painful memories that leave scars. And those scars often linger throughout the rest of our days. We would wish to be able to erase them, but usually we cannot. They're there. Memories last a lifetime. Pleasurable memories as well. And that's the focus of our thought today as we think about delightful memories that our children will never forget. Like, for example, the family in Montgomery, Alabama. They will never forget the memory their father left for them. He was a dad who really loved his family, and he wanted them to enjoy their summer vacation, but he had to work. The press of business kept him at the office, and so, being committed to their happiness, he assured them of his desire that they go ahead and take the trip without him and enjoy camping for those fleeting summer days. He even helped them plan every day, right down to the hour. They would load up the family station wagon, they would drive over to California, they would camp up and down the coast, and then on a particular day, they would travel back home together to Montgomery. Each day was carefully arranged, even the highways that they would travel. He marked it all on the map. The places they would stop, Dad knew their whole route. From the time that they left until the time they returned, he even knew when they would reach each state line along the way. Planned to the hour when they would cross the Great Divide, for example. But what he did not tell them was what made all the difference. The father, you see, took off work. He had planned it all along and arranged to have himself flown to an airport near where the family would be on that particular day on their trip. He also arranged to have someone pick him up and drive him from where he landed to where the cars were passing on the route during that particular time. With a wide grin, he sat on his sleeping bag and waited until he saw in the distance a familiar station wagon packed full of kids. His kids, his wife driving. When he spotted the station wagon, he stood up, stepped over to the shoulder of the road, stuck out his thumb, and the car drove slowly by as the kids looked out and said, "The guy looks just like Dad." I love this story. The family assumed he was 1,000 miles away, sweating over a stack of papers. It's amazing they didn't drive into a ditch or collapse from heart failure. Can you imagine the fun they had the rest of that camping trip and the memories stored away in their mental scrapbook that could never be forgotten? When later asked why he would go to all that trouble, this unusually creative father responded, "Well, someday I'm going to die. When that happens, I want my kids and my wife to say, 'You know, Dad was a lot of fun.'" I love the story. Part of the reason I love it is because of what I believe about the family. And I think many of you believe it as well. In fact, I get the words from Edith Schaefer in her book, "What is a Family?" Interesting title. It's a question that she answers in the table of contents. Edith Schaefer, you will remember, is the wife and the widow of the well-known Francis Schaefer. She answers the question, "What is a family?" in this way: a changing life mobile, the birthplace of creativity, a formation center for human relationships, a shelter in the time of storm, a door that has hinges and a lock, a perpetual relay of truth, and my favorite, a museum of memories. She writes, "Memory can be a wonderful thing that one enjoys living and reliving. Memory can bring sudden understanding later in life when things suddenly fall into place and you realize what was happening. Memory can even give us courage to go on. Just when it is needed, memory can quiet one in time of turmoil or can transport one out of the danger of being plunged into something false. Memory can suddenly become so vivid as to stop a person from doing something wrong because of the unmistakable contrast being flashed on the screen of the mind. And memory can cause someone to be compassionate to another in need, whose need would not have been noticed had it not been linked in the mind's picture with a deep experience in the past which prepared an understanding. What is a family meant to be? Among other things, I personally have always felt it is meant to be a museum of memories, collections of carefully prepared memories, and a realization that day by day, memories are being chosen for our museum." All of you have a museum in your mind, a museum of treasures. It would help for you to think of yourself sometimes as a curator of the museum. These treasures are drawn from the past, from places you have visited, from things you have done, or were done with you, or for you, or to you. Memories of places you have visited that you will never forget. Not always exotic places like those abroad. I think of Vienna or London or Prague in Czech Republic or even one of the Hawaiian Islands. All of these places hold memories for us, but even memories around places where you live. All of us remember back when, as we were growing up, we remember experiences we had. We remember celebrations that we delighted in. We remember tough times. We can recall in our minds pictures those emotions, those occasions where we were there. Some of us can remember what age we were and even how we felt at the time. Children are like that. Memories that form the museum of the home are deliberately put together and placed there like treasures. Think of it that way. Long-standing traditions, anniversaries, birthdays, graduations, learning that you're pregnant, buying a new car, getting a raise, getting a boat, getting rid of a boat, crossing certain milestones in life, recovering from a difficult illness. You want a creative idea? Think of yourself as a curator in this museum. You're the one who watches over the treasures. You're the one who realizes their value. Even before your children are grown, you know what you're doing. You're building a museum. Part of what draws me to the 127th and 128th Psalms is the fact that they form a beautiful panorama of the family. Perhaps as the verses are read to you, you begin to see that emerge. I don't know if you've ever been to San Jacinto Monument here in Texas, down near Houston, but when you're there, you will see a panorama of Texas history as it is painted on the wall of this great rotunda. The same is in the Marine Corps Museum, where you can visit, and you will see the history of the Marines as you work your way around the rotunda of that entrance. These two psalms are like the rotunda, the walls of a family. In the first two verses of Psalm 127, we have the inception of the home. Look at how it begins. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain who build it. In other words, when you're putting down your early roots, be sure you are planting them in the rock-like substance of the Lord himself. Unless he is center, you really are doing a lot of things that will have an empty response. He gives it substance and significance. In fact, he says, verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early and retire late to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. It's the picture of a person who is a workaholic. Early on in family life, you learn the value of time, making sure you have saved time for those relationships. In other words, you're not just committed to an office or a space down at the office where you work. You are committed to a family. So for you to rise up early and go to bed late and spend your time at the office, oh, what an empty existence. By the way, I have never been beside the bed of the dying where they have said to me, I wish I had spent more time at the office. Ever. It's vain for you to give yourself only to your employment. Why, you have a museum to be filled with treasures. And then the family turns to an expansion time. Look at verse 3. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. All of a sudden, the couple begins to bear their children. And the children are a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. We'll come back to those words in a moment. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the one who has his quiver full of them. I've always loved that line. Quivers are different sizes. Okay? Some quivers are full with two kids. Some have five. That's really a full quiver. Just this past week, I heard about a family that has 12. That's a giant quiver, if you ask me. But quivers are all different sizes. How blessed is the one who has his quiver full of them. Meaning what? Meaning the Lord determines the size. You think you do. Oh boy, are you in for a surprise. If you're still having children and you think this is the last one, be ready. I dedicate children regularly through the year, and often as I pose for pictures with the young mother and the young father, and they have their firstborn, and the little baby's in her arms, and she reaches over and whispers to me, "This is the first and the last, right here." Doesn't mean she doesn't love the baby. It means she's exhausted. And so she's thinking it's all. And so I'll say to her, "Actually, you don't know for sure." "Oh, we do too." 2 years later, I'm standing here posing for a picture with them again. I say, "Oh, look at this." They said, "Yeah, this is it. Alpha, Omega. That's it." 3 years later, I'm here with them, and they've got twins. Boy, that oldest is dressed kind of scary, but they're making it. They're making it. Children come. Children grow. How blessed is the one whose quiver is full of them. And with the same thought of blessing, look at verse 1 of chapter 128. The Psalms are like a panorama. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Now we've got the family growing. We've got a mom and dad who are serious about their faith. And they're also enjoying the fruit of their labor. Remember, the fruit of the womb is God's reward, verse 3 of chapter 127. Now look, the fruit is beginning to produce. Look at this. You shall eat the fruit of your hands. How wonderful. The children are beginning to grow. They're beginning to show their own personality. And he adds, you will be happy. It'll be well with you. And then he mentions the wife. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants. I love that word picture. When our kids were little, I used to sometimes surprise them by saying, "How are the olive plants doing today?" They'd look at me like I was weirdo. But I'd look down at the fruitful vine at the end of the table, and she would smile. By the way, olives don't grow from vines. Children are not exactly like mom and dad. Olive plants are individuals. Every child is an individual. We're learning that in this series. No two children are born the same. No two children think the same, even if they're twins. No two children are moving toward the same ultimate goal. Children are growing. They're olive plants. They're beginning to produce. So children are different from parents during the growing up years. And then as the children grow up, we are promised in verse 4, "Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion." And now he addresses the Jewish reader. "Bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem." Now life is running its course. The children are grown and they're on their way into a productive life. Indeed, words in verse 6 are addressed to grandparents. May you see your children's children, Shalom Israel. One of the few verses in all the Bible that speaks to grandparents. May you live long enough to see your children bear children. One of the rewards is your children then understand what life was like when you had them. And they often say, "Oh, I never realized." And you sit there saying, "I know." Sometimes I have the joy of spending time with grandparents and they say, wow, we just kept the grandkids. And boy, were we glad to send them back to the mom and dad. It was great. Both hours. And now they're back. But this isn't an endurance test. As a matter of fact, at the end, may you see your children's children. Shalom, Israel. Those words mean little to Gentile readers, but to the people of the Jews. That's their great goal. Shalom, Israel. Peace, all connected with the joy of the family. It's all here. Now, so much for the overview. Let's get down to the, if you will, the each tree and the limbs on the trees and the leaves on the limbs. First, let's address the attitudes and actions that say to our children, you're important. What do we do? How do we let our children know how valuable they are? Just burying a child doesn't say that. Just putting clothes on a child doesn't say that. A neighbor can clothe your children. Just feeding them a meal isn't that. I mean, McDonald's is always available, or another fast food joint where you can take them. And that's not how they feel important. What does it take? Well, look at verse 3 of chapter 127 again, okay? Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. First, parents who acknowledge that their children are gifts and rewards begin to build great memories in the lives of their children. Did you know growing up that you were a gift from God? Were you ever told what a reward you were to the family? Probably not. And for that reason, I've made a list of some of the negatives. Children are a gift and a reward. They're not a liability. They're not an interruption. They're not a tax deduction. They're not a burden we carry or a cross we bear. If I hear that again, I'm going to scream. This your child? Yeah, he's the burden we're bearing. Really? Wonder how that makes the child feel. They're not a mistake to live with. Maybe you didn't plan the child. That child is still every much a gift as the one you hope for and plan for. Every child is a gift. Every child is a reward from God. You want to begin building a treasure that your children will love to know about. Remind them again and again that they are God's gift to the family. Each one. Each one is a reward. Gifts are things we receive from others and we appreciate. In this case, these gifts come directly from the Lord. He alone causes the womb to be fruitful. Here's the second. Not only acknowledging that each is a gift and a reward, next is the realization that each is like an arrow. Did you miss verse 4 as we were reading through it? Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth.
As Chuck Swindoll said, children are a gift and a reward. They're not a liability. There's much more from Chuck's message we need to hear, including this next word picture, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. You're listening to Insight for Living. Remember, you can purchase the CDs for this practical series or the downloadable audio files by going online to insightworld.org. With 12 messages that focus on training, reproving, and finding joy in our children, the Biblical Parenting Series addresses relevant issues for all parents, no matter what your children's ages. We've had many grandparents call to purchase the series for children who are rearing families of their own. Again, to purchase the CDs of this series, go to insightworld.org/store and look for the classic series called Biblical Parenting. It's possible you've been listening to Insight for Living for a long, long time. And in fact, you started listening to Chuck teach from the Bible as a young mom or dad when your children were very young. And you benefited from the biblical wisdom offered on this program at that critical passage in your life. Well, maybe this is the season when you can invest into young families who need Insight for Living, just as you did many years ago. Your one-time donation today would help that single mom or the young father on his commute who turns on the radio or listens to Chuck teach on a mobile device and relies on the spiritual strength they draw from this ministry. So give today by calling 1-800-772-8888. or go online to insight.org. And if you're prepared to give monthly, you're invited to join our loyal family of monthly companions. This circle of friends comes alongside Insight for Living each month with a donation in the amount of their choosing. You can become a monthly companion today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion.
I will never forget the first time Cynthia and I drove around the bend and we saw the holy city for the very first time. It literally took our breath away.
And now you can see Jerusalem for yourself with Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 4th through the 15th, 2018.
My first trip to Israel was much later in life than it should have been. I've never regretted that journey or any of those that followed. In fact, I wish that it all happened sooner.
Imagine hearing the Bible teaching you've come to respect on Insight for Living, on location in Israel. Call 888-447-0444.
No pastor, no follower of Christ should ever pass up an opportunity to see and to touch and to fall in love with the very places where biblical history unfolded.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries, March 4th through the 15th, 2018. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Again on Tuesday, Chuck Swindoll explains how to create delightful memories your children won't forget here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Delightful Memories Your Children Won't Forget, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.